Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday?
I know, my days are all screwed up.
It was like we didn't do a show the last 2 days. We haven't been Solid State Radio in like 5 days. Like, it's it's like this whole timeline's got me totally thrown off, man.
Yeah, it's been an interesting one, but a fun one. I always like 4th of July.
Oh, yeah, it's always a good time. I always love when the throwback takeover weekends are always a blast.
Yeah, that's always a lot of fun. I had a good time on Saturday doing a old-fashioned air shift.
I say that went particularly well.
Not too bad, and then. Wasn't planning on it, but a Drew Duffney showed up.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. He had a schedule open up. He says, hey, over here, because we got that event coming up on Saturday, so I met up with him at the venue while the music was playing, and he came back, and we had a drink, and he took off, so it kept me company.
Well, there you go.
Kept me from being lonely.
Poor Adam. Well, at least that worked out for you then.
Oh, absolutely. Always a good time.
See, I don't get special guests when I have to do my air shifts.
No. Well, because you do it from your house. You do it from your bed. You're like, hi, Sean. Radio.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you would do it if you had the setup at your place.
I don't know. It's kind of, I don't think I could ever be one of those work from home kind of guys. I just don't have the motivation. I like being in a situation where I have to put pants on. That's very important.
See, I like not having to put pants on if I don't want to.
It's nice. It's comfy. But with me personally, I'm much more focus driven when I'm in a office,
right.
Studio /
yeah.
Grocery area. I don't know.
Right. See, I can roll out of bed and directly onto the air and be completely and utterly fine with that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm weird. I don't know.
No, it's because there's a lot of people, especially with COVID, we found a lot of people were much more productive at home as opposed to having to get up, get in a car, drive somewhere. But then there's people like me that if I had to work from home, my motivation would be right in the crapper.
Well, that's because you have
one more game of hockey on Xbox, and then I'll get.
Well, that's because you have an Xbox and also 5 kids running around your house at any point in time. that'll also do it. See, I don't have either of those things to contend with, so I'm golden.
This is true. But hey, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
Something different strokes to rule the world or whatever.
Something like that.
Something about Gary Coleman, I suppose. Anyway, we got a lot to get to today, and this is there's actually some hockey things that we still have to discuss that are still on the table. I think we'll go ahead and do that next.
What you talking about, Sean?
It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Rival Sons of your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and Adam, I have some rather exciting news if you hadn't been following this whole Alex DeBrincat saga.
I have not as of today.
We're still in it.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently, the finalists at this point are the Wings and the New York Islanders.
Really?
Steve Yzerman, Lou Lamoriello, facing off, winner takes a guy who can actually be a top-line impact player.
That is interesting. Why would DeBrincat want to go to New York? And I'm not just saying, oh, well, he's from the Michigan area. No, there's nothing in New York.
They have money to pay him, probably.
Detroit still has $10 million in cap space. Not to say that he needs to spend $10 million on Alex DeBrincat. I'm hoping Steve Yzerman's not saying that, because this past Saturday he was spending money like a sailor on shore leave. But
well, I mean, the Islanders, to be fair, they made the playoffs last season. They lost in the first round, but it's not like they're like non-competitive entirely.
Yeah. Well, did they trade for Brock Boeser? Or?
Yeah, they traded for him at the. Was it him they traded for at the
Vancouver?
Bo Horvat.
Bo Horvat. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, they acquired him mid-season. I think they're hoping that they're going to get another 30-goal season out of him by the time all is said and done next year, and they want to add another strong, you know, guy who could score 30, 40 goals a year, and DeBrincat is certainly that guy. But that's where it comes down to right now. you know, showdown at the OK Corral between Steve Yzerman and Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Lamoriello was really the, he's the reason I need to go anywhere, because he hasn't won anything since New Jersey in 2000s.
And he's just an odd cat in a lot of ways.
He really is. He doesn't let the players wear beards. He insists that their numbers are, jersey numbers are 30 and under. It's just little stuff.
Really doesn't make a whole great deal of sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're going to get paid by Stevie. Stevie has a proven track record. He's got a good, strong, young team behind him. I mean, they've got, you know, Cal Clutterbuck, whatever.
Cal Cluster. Yeah. No, that too.
I mean, they got Anders Lee. That's no joke. Matt Martin, Bo Horvat, Brock Nelson.
Yeah, they've got a solid roster there. I guess I should probably put Cal Clusterbuck on the apology list.
Yeah, Cluster, you know what. And then, of course, you know, got the 1-2 punch of Ilya Sorokin and Semen Varlamov. But It's like, I don't know. I just think, looking at, you're going to get the same money. You're going to get a proven GM in Steve Yzerman in the modern NHL.
But arguably also a team closer to contention than yours.
Yeah,
they made the playoffs last year.
They're
so by definition, they're closer to contention, and they have made the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years.
Yeah,
the Wings have not made it any of the last 5 years.
Yeah, they haven't been there in almost 10 years.
So technically, that's the argument, is it not?
Yeah, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see. Have we heard anything about a price tag for...
It's probably 8-year term, and I don't remember the... it might have been like $8 million a year or something like that.
Oh, well, then we've lost out on that, because there's no way Steve Yzerman is going to give that.
I don't think he cares much about the money, though. I mean, he's not going to hamstring you to a stupid contract, but he'd be a free agent if you sign him to that 8-year term. DeBrincat will be a free agent at 33.
Yeah, at that point, we'll have been done with him. Cast him aside. But
it's not like you're overpaying for a guy who's going to be washed by the end of the contract, because he's only 25 now.
Right. Islanders, they like to sign those big contracts. So he's probably, if it's an 8-year deal that he wants, if it's long term, he's going to get that in New York.
I don't see Stevie being completely out on that idea. Like, I don't see him as being against signing a guy to a long term if it makes sense, and this is a place where I feel like it makes sense.
Hope so.
I mean, you have a young guy, like I said, 25 now, going to be 33 when he ends up as a free agent, a guy who has the potential to be a 40-goal scorer. He's done it twice in his career, has been close to 30 multiple other years. He's only ever had one really particularly off year, honestly, and that was his 1920 season with Chicago, and now that was the COVID year. So, I mean,
what
do you really expect from anybody there? So for me, it's a no-brainer, and I think Stevie's going to see it that way as a way to secure a guy who fits in with the timeline of the rebuild, who will be there for a while, who will be there when you're actually fully contending and won't be completely washed at the end of the deal. I think he does it, and I think it's for me, it's an A-plus offseason if he does manage to get this signing done.
I think so. I definitely think so. And then also, that also puts him with Pew Suter and Kubalik.
Yeah.
Guys who he knows from his days in Chicago. So I mean, maybe get a little hometown discount for that as well.
Right, and then... You know, another Michigan guy along with, you know, Confer and Larkin. Like, I think it just it makes sense all the way around. I think Yzerman will ultimately more than likely get it done.
I hope so. But I mean, and you're gonna laugh, but a lot of players have that superstition. He can't have number 12 in Detroit. I don't know if 12 is available on the aisle, but it's not available. He's gonna have to change it up.
I don't think that's going to be that.
Maybe Stevie will let him wear 19. What if that was the whole thing? Look, Stevie, I'll sign whatever deal you want for $1 million. Wow, why so cheap? I want number 19. Steve Yzerman, all of a sudden, his ego has to be really put in check.
I also feel like he'd probably do it ultimately. Like, if I don't think, as the GM, I don't think he's going to be the guy like, oh, that absolutely can't happen ever. Like,
yeah, I don't think so, pal. You can have 91 before you can have 19. Get out of my office.
That is very true. Right. But no, yeah, I probably not taking Sid Abel's number, I suppose.
No.
I don't think. I know a lot of guys are superstitious about that sort of thing, but I don't think it'll be an issue here. Something tells me.
Yeah, nobody really said, oh, to break it? Oh, number 12? Oh, absolutely. It's not like if Ovechkin signed with another team and he couldn't wear number 8. You know, would be weird. Or Gretzky not being able to wear 99 or something like that. But to
break you can't wear 99. We already retired it for you.
Yeah, son of a...
Here's the Chemical Brothers on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Andy DeFranco, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody?
So came across this today from the Free.
Sure.
Now, we know that most of the talk around your Detroit Tigers this season has been, the only reason you're in contention here is because your division is laughably bad. But where does the division that the Tigers play in rank among all of the home divisions for your Detroit sports teams? Like, which one is the most difficult to win? Which one's the easiest one to win? Which is the most winnable for the four major Detroit sports teams? According to the Freep, the AL Central, the Tigers have the best shot of winning their division this season of all of Detroit's four major sports teams. Now, I'll give you their argument for it, and then I'll let you feel free to tell me how wrong they are. The AL Central is comically bad, despite the fact that the Tigers have had one of the weirdest seasons in recent memory, largely wrought with terrible injury luck. As of July 2nd, the five division teams were 502 runs below the AL East in run differential, which shows the sharp contrast between baseball's haves and have-nots. By contrast, the NL Central is the only other division with a negative run differential, and theirs is only negative 76, the best being the AL East at a plus 245. What makes the AL Central especially bad is there's no great team at the top, and the bottom also has one of the worst teams in the entire league, the Kansas City Royals, who are just a few games ahead of the Oakland A's. At one time, they were on track to be one of the worst teams ever. A laundry list of injuries and just generally not that great of a roster. Despite all that, they're within striking distance of winning the division. But do you see really the Tigers winning the Central as an easier path than, say, the Lions winning the NFC North?
I think so, because, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings are going to be the big X factor. How are they going to move forward? But, I mean, you've got...
Be terrible, mostly.
You've got the Bears being laughably bad. You've got Green Bay going through a little bit of a rebuild on the fly with
Jordan Love.
Yeah, Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers is now a New York Jet.
And they're going to expect Jordan Love to do what Aaron Rodgers couldn't do with pretty much the exact same roster.
Yeah.
That should be fun.
Yeah, let's see how that works. So I think the NFC North is right for the picking for the Lions.
Absolutely. And also, the Lions have significantly upgraded their roster in several facets this offseason. They finally shored up the defense in a way that I've been begging them to do for a long time. Yep. You've added yet another weapon in Jahmyr Gibbs, who I think is going to be a threat in not only in the running game, but in the passing game. And once Jameson Williams comes back from his suspension, provide he doesn't do anything else stupid, I think he's going to be an impact player immediately. All that combined, I would say the NFC North is more winnable for our local team than the AL Central is for the Tigers.
I don't know if the Tigers would, you know, shake this injury bug and start playing some good ball. I think they could leapfrog all of the teams in the Central Division.
But that's a big if to expect right now. I mean, for every time you get one back, you'll lose another one. I mean, Matt Boyd's now out. He's done for the season with Tommy John. He may not, who knows, if he'll pitch next year.
Yep.
Like, Scoobal came back and had a really nice game last night, and that was rather nice to see, even though you ended up losing that game. And now you've got Matt Manning back, Erod making his first start of the season tonight. But as we know, the if you can stay healthy is never a guarantee,
no.
Especially not with this team, which might have the most snake bit pitching rotation in all of Major League Baseball.
I'm just saying that the Freep is onto something. It's not the most easy division. That would have to go to the NFC North.
No, it's the easiest division, I would say. Uh-huh. The easiest division to win in if you're a competent team. I wouldn't say the NFC North is an easy division by comparison.
Yeah.
But the AL Central is easier in the fact that every other team in that division is laughable, like garbage.
They're hot garbage.
The difference is the Lions are also a better team than what the Tigers are putting out on a nightly basis.
There is no doubt. I'm excited to see what the Lions are able to do. I mean, you got in the NBA, it's not even close. I mean, Detroit was at the bottom of a pretty stacked Central with Milwaukee on top, Cleveland, Chicago, and Indiana. And then Detroit Red Wings, they're in a division with the last four Eastern Conference champions all came out of the same division.
Yeah, and now here's the interesting thing. The Freep has the NBA Central ranked ahead of the NHL Atlantic, the Atlantic being the hardest division to win.
I have to agree with that. I mean, you've got Tampa Bay. You've got who, 3 years in a row, they came out of the East.
The Bruins, who set the record for most points ever in a season.
Toronto, who was really front-loaded their team this year.
And your Stanley Cup Finals, your Stanley Cup runner-up Florida Panthers.
Yep. All in the same division. And then you've got teams that are,
on the way up.
Yeah. I mean, Buffalo's doing what they needed to do. But can we talk about Toronto for a second and laugh at the fact that they're $9 million over the cap?
Like, Nylander's gone before the start of the season, is he not? Has to be.
They're going to have to do something. But, I mean, if they're able to get on the cap, then this is going to be Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be a scary team.
Yeah. Well, that's a big if. Like, you're not going to be able to keep all of your main big superstar talent and remain under the cap. There's just no way it can be done. But, yeah, really, other than Montreal and Ottawa, every team in this division is arguably better than you, for sure. I can't deny you that. Like, it's a stacked division, and it seems like every year the Stanley Cup Finals goes through the Atlantic. Every year.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
It really does. Like, one of those three teams, whether it's Boston or Toronto or Tampa Bay in some capacity, or I guess now Florida, like, you're going to have to get past one of them to win a title, because you're not seeing too many titles coming out of the Metropolitan Division these days.
Oh no, it's going to be a minute, especially Rangers can't keep a team together. Pittsburgh seems to hate every goalie they have, even though they wanted to trade Tristan Jarry immediately, and then, okay, I guess we'll keep you around for 5 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So then the NBA Central, this is an interesting thing because essentially when it comes to playoffs now, the divisions don't matter.
Right.
Like, it never used to be this way, but in recent years, like, they don't even show you on when you go to Basketball Reference, like, who the division leaders are, because they've changed it so it just the best teams in the division or the best teams in the conference basically all get in. And while absolutely.
That's
and while it's hard to imagine a division leader missing out in that league because everybody makes the playoffs in the NBA. Am I wrong though?
No, well, Detroit found a way.
But just looking at it, like the actual division such as it is, you've got the Bulls, the Cavs, the Pistons, the Pacers, and the Bucks. And really, you're worse than all of those teams. There's no denying this. But Milwaukee stands atop all of them, and there's no way in hell you're going to overtake the Greek Freak in a race for a title. So, it is kind of hard to see the Pistons overcoming that.
No, they're
I would put them at less winnable than the Atlantic Division.
I agree.
In the NHL.
Yeah, because, I mean, Detroit has been drafting well. And, I mean, we could have the discussion about the free agents they just signed. But Detroit's on the up. It's not as up as quick as we would like it, but it's definitely better than the Pistons. I mean, they've just seemed to be really lacking identity.
They've kind of been left a little bit adrift, and I don't think any of the moves they've made this offseason are particularly going to move the needle one way or the other. I mean, It seems like they might have finally stumbled upon an identity when they hired Monty Williams, because he's a very defense-forward kind of head coach.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that they're close to executing that yet. We can talk about the free agent signings coming up, though, by the way.
Sure.
With the Wings, because I just realized we didn't do that, did we?
We talked about it in private.
Yeah, we talked about it, like, we were messaging back and forth while you were doing your shift Saturday afternoon, yeah. But we haven't done it on the air yet. Nope. We'll do that next. Right. Here's Marcus Mumford at Solid State Radio. Vampire Weekend at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So we haven't had, because we haven't been on the air together since Friday,
right.
We haven't had a chance to discuss the fun and craziness that is NHL free agency yet.
Wow, I mean, yeah, we talked about it beforehand. We're like, do you really see Yzerman doing it? And I think the consensus was,
no.
He might add a piece here or there, but it was just like, I wasn't expecting
him to add the entire National Hockey League to our roster.
Yeah. What free agents did Steve Yzerman add? All of them.
All of them.
He was like a 9-year-old kid in the cereal aisle. Just, I want this, I want that, I want this, and just bring the cart.
Every single one of them.
I mean, some of them are really... they're moving the needle for me. Shane Gostisbehere, whatever we
it's Gostisbehere actually, but I think we call
it Gostisbehere. It's the Care Bear that just went all rogue and devoted his life to Satanism or something like
exactly.
That.
That is the deal that definitely moves the needle most for me.
Gostisbehere.
Yeah.
JT Compher. That's interesting. I've never really.
He's a very defensive-minded forward, admittedly.
We need defense, that's for sure. But then it's just like there's a couple guys in there that only played like two or three games ever in the NHL. They're all career AHL guys. So I'm assuming that he's trying to stock the pond when it comes to the Grand Rapids Griffins.
That would be my guess, yeah.
Goaltending, I mean...
He signed two goaltenders, which I found odd. Like, is Husso on the way out? Like, what's going on there?
I don't know. I think they got one more deal with Husso, which it doesn't matter. All the goaltenders, this is just a stopgap until it becomes a Sebastian Cosa show.
Well, I mean, that's always the hope, right?
Oh, yeah. He's on his way up.
But Alex Lyon, we'll start there. Not particularly great. 289 goals against last year, 293 the year before that.
Yep.
Before that, he never had a full season below three.
Right.
Like, but of course, he'd only ever played, and he's only got to his career now 39 games played, 31
started.
He's
a youngin', isn't he? He's like, I want to say like 24.
No, he's actually 30.
Is he really? Oh, wow. Late bloomer.
I have a feeling this is going to be like Grand Rapids depth, too. Like, I don't see him. He only started 14 games for the Panthers last season. That's with Spencer Knight entering the Jacob Vrana Memorial Program for.
Wow, kick a guy when he's down.
Even with that, with him being out, he didn't play a lot of games ultimately. Bobrovsky basically like, no, we're just going to start you like every night. And Lyon started three games in the playoffs for them, and they didn't go well. So clearly he's not up to playing on a contending team. And then you have James Reimer.
James Reimer, who has been in every other NHL team, I think he started off with
the Maple Leafs.
I think he played for the Kansas City Scouts.
I'll never forget his time with the California Golden Seals.
Now he's been around. I think that we're his fifth stop.
Actually, we might be stop number six. No, well, I guess we are his fifth because he had two stints in San Jose, and then Toronto is where he started his career. And as you can imagine, you know, they all hated him there, despite the fact that he actually had decent numbers there for at least a few of his seasons. Went to Florida, did steadily worse every year. Went to Carolina, was okay, 266 goals against for his tenure there.
Goaltenders seemed to really progress in Carolina.
And then he went back to San Jose, and last year he was awful.
Yeah, well, everybody except for Erik Karlsson was awful for the Sharks. I mean, that's chew talk right there. But, I mean, so the only thing I can think of is that they have plans of bringing Sebastian Cosa up from Grand Rapids at some point next season. They don't want to leave them without a goaltender, even though they got Victor Brodstrom. That's a big thing. I haven't heard his name bandied around at all. I don't know if he's a bust material, if they're letting him go.
Kind of wonder. I haven't heard anything about him getting any call-ups.
It's been a couple seasons.
Because he's still in GR now, right?
Yep. Yep, and then there's Jan Bednar, which I think when it comes to goaltending, I think there's been a lot of busting going on.
Brodstrom, also kind of seems that way.
Brodstrom, I mean, it was only like a preseason game, but I liked what I saw. He was quick on his feet. He had a quick glove, but obviously in GR, maybe he wasn't really burning it down.
Well, for what it's worth, last year in GR, he played 18 games, 371 goals against.
Ouch. That's not good.
885 save percentage.
That's not good.
Not great. You hate to see it. His record ended up being 4-8-3. Yeah, it's not hard to see why it is they don't feel strongly about him as the future. Ned down there had some decent numbers, 13-9-3, 271 goals against, and a 912 save percentage, but I believe he's no longer with the organization.
No, he signed with Pittsburgh. Yes, with a one-year deal. Wish him all the best. I mean, I've always liked Nedeljkovic. He had a bad season with Detroit. He excels better when the team is a little bit more defensive-minded. So I think you're going to see his numbers really improve in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I would imagine so, and you'll also have arguably a better team in front of you.
Absolutely.
And then the other, as far as Kasa goes, he started like three games in GR this season, 557 goals against, 783 save percentage.
557?
Yeah, he's not ready for the show yet.
Did he tie his feet together?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, in ECHL for the Walleye, he was lights out. I mean, I think it was like an 8 or 9 game win streak. His goal against average was under 2. I mean, he was just, I mean, obviously ECHL.
A little different than
little
the
different
AHL.
AHL or definitely than NHL, but there's hope there.
That's true. But he's just not there yet. Like, he's just not to the point where he is really
ripe.
No, absolutely not.
I can't remember how old Kosa is. I want to say he's 22.
Is he that old? He might not.
Oh, maybe not. There's some footage going on from the development camp that's taking place right now. Marco Casper and Kosa, a little one-on-one, and apparently there was some money involved.
Yeah. 21, it looks like.
Oh, really? Okay, because Kosa was not. I mean, Casper was not able to get one past him first couple shots. Kosa was trash talking a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
6'6", I think this cat is.
For what it's worth, Kasa in Toledo last season, 256 goals against, 913 save percentage.
Oh, I was way off. I thought it was like a 1.9.
I mean, that's still not bad.
There was a stretch there where he won like 7 to 9 games in a row, and I think in that stretch he was looking good.
Right.
But yeah, he shows promise.
Bednar, for what it's worth, only played looks like a few games in Toledo. He had 3 games there and 901 save percentage, 301 goals against.
Unless he really shines, I think the Jan Bednar experiment is coming to a close.
Yeah, like if you're not even good enough for like ECHL level, like you're not a part of the organization's plans for the future. And I don't think Brodstrom is either.
I don't think so. We always talked about going to Grand Rapids to see a Griffins game, and I think that's in the cards. But I think we should make a trip to Toledo, which is not that far.
No.
I would go. Game. Yeah.
I would absolutely go. But, yeah, for the most part, that is your those are the major moves that were made over the weekend. Also, there was that one pickup from Toronto that I didn't understand, honestly, the defenseman.
What was that, Wall?
Justin Hall.
Hall, yeah. I was fine with his numbers. It was the length of contract. It was the money that was thrown at him. That was kind of raised an eyebrow for me.
Yeah, for a guy who is, again, defenseman. So it's for whatever it's worth.
He's not really been
particularly good for Toronto, from what I've heard.
Well, like, every time we talk about Toronto, they're very much a front-loaded, forward-minded team. They don't spend as much money on defense. Yeah, not really worried about defense. So I know why. He's a right-handed shot.
Yep.
They love that right-handed shot.
He really loves the right-handed shots.
So we got him on a one-year deal?
I believe so.
A lot of those deals were just one and done.
Yeah, Gostisbehere was only a one-year deal too.
Yep. That was interesting to see a lot of those because like Tyler Bertuzzi going to Toronto on a one-year deal. You got Ryan Reeves, which they needed a Ryan Reeves. If you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, you are excited because both. I mean, and Bertuzzi can scrap too. So, I mean,
I forgot Bertuzzi went to Toronto. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that.
Well, we were both half in the bag when that news came down.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, maybe you're not so sour this year. Maybe it is your year. Oh my God!
For the first time in like 50 years, maybe it's or 55. I think it's that could actually be your year. Maybe this will be the year you make it past the second. No, it won't. It'll be another 20 years before that happens.
There were some trolls, and you could tell they were trolling when Bertuzzi was traded. Some Toronto fans like, well, maybe he's tired of getting knocked out in the first round.
The irony there. The lack of self-awareness of Toronto Maple Leafs fans will never fully make sense to me, but it will never stop being hilarious.
Yeah, I remember somebody commented, somebody want to clue this guy in before I hurt his feelings.
I might need to. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Muse on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hey!
And Drew sent us something today that, you know, I could actually believe this. This doesn't sound like an implausible thing that he's trying to sell me on for a change.
I think Drew's trolling.
It sounds more plausible than his attempts to make drinks off of TikTok.
I've grounded him off of TikTok.
Good. Somebody needed to. Because that man should not be allowed to make drinks that he finds on TikTok, because I'm pretty sure he's going
to
kill you.
Oh, yeah. I think he was trying to kill me that one day. But no, he's not going to listen.
Most days.
But he sent us something in a group chat. Do you want to set this up? Do you got it in front of you?
No, I didn't. I assumed you did.
Aldi's whiskey has been named America's favorite whiskey.
America's favorite whiskey? That's a bold statement here, huh?
That is a very bold statement. I mean, I'm sure Aldi probably put that together. We
voted ourselves best whiskey. So you found the article on this.
Esquire.com. Aldi's $17 whiskey was just named the best in the world. I said America. They're saying the world.
Really?
Yeah. According to Esquire, Aldi, the discount supermarket chain with stores in more than 20 countries, just won an award for best whiskey in the world. Your great-grandpappy's moss-covered distillery nestled in the Scottish Highlands can suck it.
Now, I will say this is plausible in the fact that you've had the various Kirkland-based whiskeys.
I have.
Their Scotch, which I believe is made by the same folks who make Macallan,
uh-huh.
It's good.
It's good.
The Irish whiskey, which I don't remember if that's Jameson or Bushmills, it's pretty decent.
Yes.
Their Canadian whiskey is terrible, but in all fairness, that's because Canadian whiskey is inherently terrible.
I will get into some Canadian whiskey if we're mixing. Sitting back and drinking it, I don't know, I'm not really a big fan.
Look, but I'll use some Seagram's or some Crown Royal as a mixer.
7 and 7, Crown Royal in the Canada Dry is good. And I like Canadian Club. I like Canadian Club and Coke. CC and Coke.
You're wrong, and you're entitled to your wrong opinion. Like, I can't drink CC. Like, that's where I draw the line. That and anything lower in the Canadian whiskey pantheon.
Uh-huh.
It's not, I mean, it's not Canada House or McMaster's bad, but it's still not good.
It's not Fleischmann's where you have to get on your hands and knees and get reach in the bottom. I've never seen...
Like, I bought high-end Canadian Club once, and it literally sat in my buddy's freezer for 6 months because neither one of us would touch that nasty garbage.
Well, Drew brought it up, and we're going to try it next time we're all together.
Does the Aldi's in Lapeer sell whiskey? Do Aldi's in Michigan, period, sell actual spirits?
I've been in Aldi's twice, and it looked like they're still in the process of grand opening. I mean, it's trash. It's a trash store.
It's not a trash store.
It's a trash store.
Look, just because it kind of looks like the old Save-A-Lot does not necessarily mean that, like, it's better quality stuff than Save-A-Lot ever was. Like,
I mean, it makes Big Lots and Dollar General go look around going, wow, you got to clean this place up.
But, I mean, these are the same people who also own Trader Joe's. It's not like it's, like, garbage quality. It's not like you're getting great value brand stuff here.
Right.
Even if they do make every one of their store brand things look like, you know, name brand stuff.
They have the Highland Black, hints of heather, strawberry leaf, and lemon oil.
So that's a Scotch, I'm assuming.
Yep. Islay Single... Wait.
So they have multiple scotches?
One for its Highland Black Scotch Whiskey and another for its Islay Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. The Islay Single Malt is fresh and zesty and retails for $23.
for a fifth, or is that like a half gallon like the Kirkland stuff is?
No, it's a fifth.
Ah, damn.
I don't see a handle. I know. So, I mean, it looks like they're only talking about scotch, because I'm not seeing Irish whiskey. I'm not seeing bourbon.
I wonder if they
bourbon.
Make others.
Well, they probably do. Well, this article only focuses on that. But, you know, all right, well, let's. I'll go to the Lapeer Aldi and see if they've got any of this stuff, and I'll pick some up. And we'll get old Jim Ald involved, because he's a big scotch guy. He's really the guy that we need to put it to the taste test.
I'd be intrigued to do so. Oh, and already there's someone coming out saying that this doesn't mean they actually got named best in the world, as it turns out.
I would think not.
So why Aldi whiskey isn't the best in the world, only Scotch whiskey was judged. 93 different whiskeys were awarded gold. This ain't the Olympics. Gold doesn't equal best. The highest award in the Scotch Whiskey Masters is Master. There were 20 brands that were awarded that. 93 were awarded gold.
Right. So, okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better, because I've been thinking, what, the best whiskey in the world is at Aldi's?
They have like
Aldi's, for God's sakes?
But Aldi somehow has 5 different varieties of scotch. Glenmarnock Islay single malt, Speyside single malt, Highland single malt, Hogwash blended malt whiskey, and Highland Black. Like, okay. I admit I am intrigued. Yeah, like you look at the full list of what actually won things, like
Glenmarnock.
Shavas actually has like 20 different like things that won an award that year. Like Johnny Walker Red technically won gold. Like the full list of Scotch the Masters Awards. Johnny Walker Red actually won they won silver. Johnny Walker Black got silver, and then Johnny Walker Blue and double Black got gold too.
I was gonna say.
But I mean, in that case, I don't mind Johnny Walker Double Black. Even Johnny Black isn't bad.
No.
So, no, I mean, it's as far as scotches go, so, I mean, that's not... That doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world. Although, the fact that Johnny Walker Red gets silver, then I have to question you a little bit.
I think you just got a bunch of people that just wanted free whiskey.
All right, here's where you could make the argument against Aldi, then. Because you know who else won gold? Dewars.
Get out of here.
Dewars, like regular white label Dewars. First off, you're going to tell me that Johnny Black and... Or Johnny Double Black and Dewars are at the same level, and then also expect you to believe that Aldi's is good, but so is Dewars. Okay, asking questions.
I think there's some pretty full pours there. To the part like, oh, I like this too. Oh, this is my favorite too. Can we gold, silver? Can we do platinum? This is platinum here. That's mouthwash. I love it.
Yeah, like. Like, you can tell they just like spent way too much time trying all the and you know you can't just like have a sip, like you gotta do a full glass to really get the full experience. Yeah, you gotta
spill it on your shirt to see what it's gonna smell like for when you come home with your wife.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm gonna pick up a bottle or two and we'll taste test on the air, because that's what the people really want to hear.
Well, I mean, if they didn't want that, they probably wouldn't have been listening to us for the last 6 years. Okay,
point.
So I further look this up.
Okay.
It's not available in the U.S.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Oh, damn it. So if I was just almost going into Lapeer, all these going, where's your liquor section?
You know, I guess it's a good thing that I stopped you before you did indeed do
that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I guess we're not trying Aldi whiskey.
Yeah, I guess not.
I will get to the bottom of this. Like, well, I mean, Drew's got an international following now with the Blarney Hour. Maybe he can make this happen.
Yeah, there we go. The Irish Rovers are like, all right, you can go out and try it, but we're not held responsible.
Yeah, like you have to like sign a waiver before they'll even give Drew the bottle. In all fairness, that I feel like that should just be a requirement as a general rule, really, anyway, just... All right, you have to sign this, because we can't be held responsible for anything Drew Duffy does as a result of us giving him this.
Yes, right.
Here's Silver Sun Pickups on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Fallout Boy, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I, quite frankly, at this point, am just glad that we've gotten to the point of the holiday where everyone's done finally posting, complaining about fireworks shows because, oh my God, my dog or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I went on a rant on Saturday afternoon, and I'm not apologizing.
I don't think anyone was asking you to apologize.
I love fireworks, and I'm a dog owner. Dog owners, let me talk to you for a second. Yeah, your dog doesn't like fireworks. And I'm just recently a dog owner. When I say recently, within the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Most of my time, I was not a dog owner. I lived by myself. And I had to deal with dogs in my neighborhood barking, going through my trash, taking a crap in my yard. There was one time I'm sitting there. I get home from work, 7 o'clock in the morning, and this dog is just taking a power squat right on my lawn. And I'm looking at the dog, and I'm looking at the owner who's on his phone. And he's like, whoa. So if your neighbors have to put up with them using their lawn to do their business, going through their garbage, barking, chasing after them when they're just going out to get the mail, I think little Fluffy can put up with some fireworks in the middle of the year.
Right. I think you can deal with the 4 or 5 days a year where fireworks happen.
Yeah. Deal with it. I mean, that's just the way it is. There's things you could do. There's a couple people I know that have like little doggy CBD products.
Yeah.
Calm them down.
It's very much a thing, and honestly, it would probably be a lot more, you know, more effective than, you know, a lot of things that people try and do to...
My dog, little Princess Leia, she's a boxer Rottweiler, not boxer pit bull mix. And I was taking a nap, and I had my glasses on the end table, and she wanted to get up in bed with me, and she's not allowed in our room, period. And she had heard some fireworks, and she was wanting to jump in bed with me, jumped onto the end table and flattened my glasses. I got them bent up, but I'm not seeing right out of these glasses right now. I got to take them in, but, you know, so I get it.
I think that's more to do with the booze than the glasses, Adam.
No, that was definitely the dog. it was definitely the dog, but
the dog did it. That's the ticket.
Yeah. So I mean, I understand. I get it. I understand both sides. But dog owners, you people act like, you know, if somebody's shooting off fireworks a mile away, that they're somehow being inconsiderate of your dog. You know what? You're probably more likely to be inconsiderate in the neighborhood with your dog than these people are using shooting off fireworks 5 days out of the year.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
I think you'll survive.
Tell Fluffy to shut up.
Damn. How do you really feel, Adam? Oh, it's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Solid State weather for the rest of the afternoon. Mostly sunny skies today. High getting up to around 90. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 69. Tomorrow, you're looking at thunderstorms for a good chunk of the day with a high of 76 and a low of 57. Then for Friday, sunshine and some clouds with a high of 79 and a low of 56. 91 right now in Flint, 92 in the Tri-Cities, 90 in lovely downtown Lapeer under partly cloudy skies. How about we do a little bit real quick, because we have a little bit of time to kill.
Sure.
We haven't done a good installment of Am I the A-Hole in a minute.
Gotcha.
I know we haven't, and I know Open for Discussion hasn't, because I don't remember the last time those guys did a radio show.
Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before.
Oh, was it? Yep. I don't know. I don't listen to this station on the weekends. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But I have a couple of these that just seemed rather interesting that I feel like that I need to bring up. And I feel like we'll be able to help some people or give some advice or whatever.
Sure.
And this one I feel like is gonna take up most of this. Am I the a-hole for ordering food for my girlfriend without asking what she wants?
I don't know. I mean, because some women like that old-fashioned
for me.
Or hey, I've made plans for us. What's the context? I mean, did he order pizza and not ask what she wanted on it, or I mean, because sometimes I mean, if it's like a full dinner, he knows what she wants. She gets the same thing, or he has an idea.
Yeah. All right, so, bit of context. I want to try every dish in the world. I think every culture has some amazing dishes. She, on the other hand, is very picky. When we try eating out and trying to decide a restaurant, she rejects all my choices, and I give up and have to eat at her favorite restaurant. We spoke about this, and she agreed to try some new restaurants that I would pick. I choose an Ethiopian restaurant. We drove there, but then she goes, I'm full. You can eat, though I will sit there. Again, we had to go to her restaurant. Another time we chose, I'm not even going to try and pronounce this restaurant. She did the same. I decided to not ever suggest another restaurant. A few weeks back, we were home and both hungry. I told her I was going to order some food through Uber Eats. She asked I order for her, too. I thought about what she liked and ordered 5 different rice and meat dishes from this amazing Indonesian restaurant.
Okay.
Food arrives, and she throws a tantrum why I didn't order from her favorite restaurant. I asked her to try it. If it's bad, spit it out, and I'll order from your restaurant. She didn't even taste it despite my begging. She boils some eggs for herself and eats those. A few weeks later, she's ordering some food. I ask that she order some for me, too. Food arrives, and it's 2 dishes. She takes one and hands me the other. It is what I hate. I ask why she ordered me this. She goes, see, you hate when I do it. Then why do you do it to me? I tried arguing that I ordered 5 dishes she would have loved if she had tried them, but she never tried a single bite. On the other hand, I've eaten this before, and she knows that I hate it. Anyway, I ate it. Yesterday, I had a reason to celebrate. Shared the news with her, and she says, I'm buying dinner. I agreed happily. Ordered 6 different dishes from her favorite restaurant. Food arrives, and she's shocked. She says, I never asked her what she wanted to eat. I tell her from her favorite restaurant, a total of 6 dishes, all that she likes. Again, she throws a tantrum, saying, how could I do this to her again when I myself don't like when she orders food without asking what I want? I'm baffled and think she's being unreasonable. She ate boiled eggs and slept. I can't figure it out. Am I the a-hole here? I've certainly learned a lesson, but just need to know if I was wrong.
He's trying to meet her in the middle. He wants to be able to experiment with food. He wants to have different ideas. She wants what she wants, and that's it. She wants him to only have that. Then she puts herself on the chopping block. Yeah, go ahead and order for me. All right. And he ordered with her in mind. And she didn't even try it. Didn't even want to entertain the idea that she would like it because it's a power struggle with her. I mean, does she have, like, some radical allergies? Does she have, you know, is she lactose intolerant? Is there other, the letter doesn't say that?
I feel like that would have come up if that were really a thing. Actually, I feel like if that were really a thing, then this letter never would have happened.
Right, right. So I think she's just being a pain in the ass. I mean, she's not a pain in the ass in that she likes what she likes. There's people like that. I only like certain things, and that's it. But then don't go to him, hey, order me something. Hey, it's your promotion or whatever, your celebration. We're gonna go do what I want to do. You know, it's and then...
But it's the fact that he ordered stuff that he knows that she likes, and she had a fit about it.
Yeah, and then she turns around, orders something from her restaurant, orders something that she 100% knows he doesn't like, just to prove a point?
Yeah, that's the point at which you are absolutely now the a-hole.
Yeah.
Like, without question.
Not
like,
the writer. Not
no, the, not the writer, but the, your girlfriend.
Yeah.
There. That's where she officially crosses the line to being an a-hole. Like, and I kind of wonder, like, can a relationship like this even work where one person wants to, like, try, like, literally all of the food ever and the other one is, you know,
yeah,
I'd rather be, picky or whatever?
Yeah, well, I'd be willing. Picky is one thing. Dominating is the other. I'd be willing to bet you that if we were to sit them down and delve more into the relationship, there's probably they go see movies that she likes. They watch TV shows that she wants to do. It's a control thing.
You might be right about that, too.
Yeah. But, you know, there's one thing where he wants to adventure out with certain cuisines. And, yeah, she's not about that. And she doesn't want him to be about that. Oh, I already ate. I'll watch you eat at the restaurant you do. I'll just sit there and stare at you. Yeah, that's comfortable. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that seems absolutely like... Yeah, there's no way. Like, I feel like that's just... you've already come across a major deal breaker in the relationship at that point.
Right.
Like, this just ain't gonna work. Hope that helped or something.
Something like that. But no, sir, you are not the a-hole.
Nope, absolutely not. Here's the Chili Peppers on Happy Hour, Solid State Radio.
I think Red Wings, that's one thing they still have got some magic in their sack. And then if Steve Yzerman comes home, all of a sudden he'll bring that magic out of his sack and sprinkle it all over the Detroit Red Wings. Going to spray that magic all over when he gets back. We'll talk more about Yzerman and his sack.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Adam there coming in with a little bit of sack talk.
Hadn't heard that one in a while. That's from the vault.
Well, it seemed like it was kind of fitting considering that, well, Stevie went and unloaded his sack quite prominently for Wings fans here over the weekend. I mean, bought pretty much most of the things on their wish list, and he's still working on one more from the looks of it. The Alex DeBrincat thing, where it really seems like this, holy hell, this might actually happen.
I hope so.
Like, with the offseason so far, what grade do you give this thing if the DeBrincat deal does get done?
Yeah.
What do you give it if the DeBrincat deal doesn't happen? What offseason grade?
Oh, if he's able to pull that, I would give it a solid A-, B+. I mean, DeBrincat is a great player, and then you team him up with what we already have and the other components that he's brought in. I think it's looking pretty decent. I'd say A-, B+.
I would agree with that. I would say it's a solid A if they acquired DeBrincat. If not, I'd give it probably a solid B, maybe B minus.
Yeah, I mean, bringing in Gothlisbear and we talk about Daniel Sprung. We didn't even get a chance to really kind of talk about him and the Comfort Cat.
I completely forgot about Daniel Sprung, to be honest with you.
Not too shabby. I mean, they definitely weren't the belle of the ball when it came to free agency, but he addressed
multiple needs.
Yeah, so yeah.
Which I feel like is as good as you can ask for, really.
Right.
As far as Sprong goes, I'm not sure. Like, if that's not one that moved the needle a great deal for me, much like the Comfort signing.
Right.
Like he's a solid 15 goals a guy, 15 goals a year guy, who apparently just bounced around the NHL like crazy over the last 8 years or 7 years.
Yeah, he's been around.
He's been a Kraken, a Capital. He's been with the Ducks, Pittsburgh, like. He hasn't stayed at a team for more than 2 seasons.
Yeah, that's got me worried.
It does a little bit. Well, Seattle, he's got his 2 years in there. I think they must have just let him walk as a free agent. Multiple of these other ones have been trades.
Yeah.
21 goals, 25 assists last year, which are by far career best for him.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that ends up being anything. Interesting note, too, all of this has brought about the end of the Philip Zadina era in Detroit.
Well, we thought he was put on waivers, and
nobody wanted him.
Nope. So he's still a Red Wing. I don't know.
Well, he's gonna, I assume, gonna be sent down to Grand Rapids if he clears, if he agrees to report to camp, because I think he still has to actually agree and not be just released from his deal outright or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, how many buyouts can they do in a year? I think it was like 2, something like that. And they have one for Yamamoto.
Oh, that's right.
So
hopefully you're not going to regret having done that. Well, I think since he's already been placed on waivers, I don't think it counts as them having to buy him out at that point.
Yeah, because the NHLPA is like, well, you got to give him a chance to catch on with another team. Like, well, we did that. Nobody wanted him.
Exactly. Which I'm not surprised by, unfortunately.
Well, I think it's another one of those things. What if he was drafted by a better team with a better development core? Because, I mean, Blashill wasn't a young player development kind of person.
No.
So I think it's, you know, what if his career was tainted by the fact that, you know, Blashill really couldn't teach the young kids, and he was snake bit. I wanted to see him picked up by another team. Not just to free up a roster spot for the Red Wings, but I wanted to see him excel, do well.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you want all those things. But, I mean, other guys seem to develop fine, and, you know, despite that, I think it's just a him problem, ultimately.
Could be. He was pretty cocky when he first came in.
Yeah, how did that whole go, you know, filling everybody's net with pucks work out for you exactly?
Yeah, not too well.
Not very well at all, as it turns out. Anyway, we got to get out of here. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show that we like to call Solid State Sessions.
Yeah.
All being well, we'll talk at you tomorrow afternoon at 3 or somewhere thereabouts. See ya.